My name is Michel. I'm from Congo. I'm here in Texas, San Antonio.
Michel is from Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's a megacity of 11 million people. Michel, his wife, and three children are among hundreds of Central African migrants who crossed the U.S. southern border during the first week of June and ended up in San Antonio trying to figure out what's next.
So we're down here working with the city right now at their relief center, helping purchase bus tickets, and we brought down a lot of staff who either speak Swahili or French to help with language needs.
Peter Strangis works at Catholic Charities in San Antonio, but his job is not to work with migrants. He's the vice president of programs there, but he also speaks French. That's why he's outside the city's migrant service center today, talking to a cluster of serious-looking young men and a woman with a sleeping baby strapped to her back. These families from the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Republic of Congo, and Angola have been on the road for a long time. Michel and his family started their journey in January. To get to the U.S., most Central African migrants start with a flight to South or Central America.
Yes, they have to fly. I mean, they're flying to somewhere in Latin America before they journey north. And, of course, they've got to cross several countries. That's not an easy journey.
Randy Capps is the Director of Research for U.S. Programs at the Migration Policy Institute. And he says while that journey is not easy, it has become preferable to trying to migrate to Europe by making a trip by boat across the treacherous Mediterranean. In fact, Cap says, many Central African asylum seekers don't even make it to the sea. They're at refugee camps in North Africa.
Many of them are stuck and languishing in really poor conditions, some in near slave conditions in Libya right now. So, you know, when conditions at home are desperate and the Europe option doesn't look good, the sort of high-priced long-distance option to try to come to the U.S. might be worth it.
And if they choose the U.S., once they get to South America, they find well-traveled roads to follow north.
That journey through Central America and Mexico has been facilitated by these large migrant caravans, by more sophisticated and faster smuggling routes. And it's an easier journey from, say, Guatemala onward than it has been in the past.
At the U.S. border, Customs and Border Protection says it has arrested more than 500 Africans since May 30th. But hundreds of others have ended up on shuttle vans that drop them off on a busy street corner in downtown San Antonio near the Greyhound bus station, outside the Migrant Resource Center. Many of the migrants are headed to Portland, Maine, where there's an established Congolese community. Not Michel, though.
No. I think I go to New York, but now I'm here in Texas. When I take some ticket, I go to New York.
He worked in hotels in Kinshasa because he speaks French, Portuguese, Spanish, and some English, but he says he'll do any job he can find here. However, it's difficult for an asylum seeker to get a permit to work legally in the U.S., and some never do. Still, people keep coming. MPI's Randy Capps says the number of asylum seekers at the southern border has been increasing steadily, with people coming from Cuba and Venezuela and South Asia and Africa, drawn by the idea that the U.S. immigration system is kind of a mess right now.
Just because I think the migrant crisis at the U.S. border has been so well publicized, and because of all of the chaos over policymaking in Washington, D.C., it all gives the appearance that the U.S. border is really open for business right now.
Cap says as temperatures rise over the next couple of months, there may be a drop in the number of migrants traveling to the southern border, but when fall comes, if nothing else has changed policy-wise, the numbers will likely increase again. In San Antonio, I'm Bonnie Petrie.